You're listening to The Deranged Nation, a true crime podcast featuring New York Times best-selling paranormal romance author and your host, Teresa Gabelman.
Hey guys, welcome to the fifth episode of Deranged Nation.
How's it going?
Hi. What's up, everybody?
Welcome back. Tonight, Cody is going to take the reins on this one, and it's pretty messed up, so get ready.
Yeah. So a while back, like a couple years back, I remember seeing this story on Vice, and I actually just seen the trailer. I never watched the full video. And on the last one we were doing about Rod Ferrell and the vampires, I remembered this guy Pazuzu, and for some reason I thought, you know, he might have been a vampire or something. I knew he was a Satanist and into some weird shit, and which we'll get into that soon. But first I want to explain a little bit about his name. So his legal name was John Alexander Lawson, and he was 37 years old, and he legally changed his name to Pazuzu Ela Algarad.
Yep.
Which Pazuzu is also the demon in The Exorcist that takes over. What's the girl's name in The Exorcist?
Well, it was Linda Blair who played her.
Well, yeah. Well, thinking the not the actor's name, the actual
the
little
person.
Girl's name. I don't know. But anyway, so not a lot of people may know that or put two and two together, but. Sort of dating back to ancient Sumerian and Babylonian times, Pazuzu was actually a god. So they had what they called deities, and they weren't called demons back then. They were actually called, looked at as gods, and they had both good and bad tendencies. Pazuzu was the prince of the demons, and his father was the king of the underworld, and some of the stories that date back, you know, to ancient times before Christ, and it's kind of disturbing how real it is to the real case we're going to be talking about today, about Pazuzu, the real guy, the human. And it gave me cold chills when I started actually reading about this, and I kind of wish I would have known a little bit more background and history on who Pazuzu was as a demon versus, you know, what the story of the actual guy is.
John. Yeah.
And it blew me away, and it's kind of scary and to think about. So Pazuzu was both a good and a bad guy. So he controlled the south winds, southwest winds, which supposedly blew from the land of the dead, and he brought famine across civilizations and disease. They actually dating back in some of the Old Testament, he's referred to as the demon of the west wind. In the actual Bible.
So when was his reign? Before Christ?
Yeah. I mean, supposedly, judging by, you know, what I've read, you know, how mythology is, there's different stories from different cultures and things, but he's like one of the first ones from, you know, before anybody. So in some of their scriptures and stuff, they look to Pazuzu as sort of a god. And so some people who worshipped him, he protected them against like misfortune and a lot of different things. And he also had a rival demon, Lamashu, and she actually ate babies and preyed upon newborns and young children. And
wasn't that the name on one of the walls maybe that we saw? Was that what it said?
But,
that you couldn't figure out.
But Lamshu was like his ex-wife, basically. I guess at one time they were lovers, or, you know, so the stories say. And You know, and then she actually turned on him and pissed him off, and because she learned his real name, and I guess it's like the demon's, you know, worst, you know, thing against them that you can have is knowing their true name.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that is interesting.
And so it's pretty crazy the stuff that happens in you know, in Pazuzu in the ancient times. It's kind of hard to like let you know if I'm talking about the demon or the real guy, since they obviously both have the same names. But right. Pazuzu, the real demon, he was known for manipulation. His favorite thing to do was corrupt good people. That was like, you know, one of his hobbies and things. And you know, so yeah, so let's go ahead and
So what I got out of that, you said that he kind of was like a protector of people. So if somebody's, and anytime I talk about this stuff, I like kind of get nervous.
Yeah,
I've done research on this kind of stuff, and it's like, yeah. I don't like it.
Well, I just started looking into it this morning, and I, like I said, I wish I would have looked into it more and knew a little bit more about it before we recorded this. But I mean, it was giving me cold chills, some of the stories of this demon back then. Like, I mean, on like ancient tablets and things, they found pregnant women back in Sumerian times in like 1000 BC actually hung his statues above their bed frame to protect their newborn babies. So some people prayed and worshiped to him.
So that's kind of weird that you say that, because you said that his ex or whatever, she like ate babies and stuff. Yeah. Right. So that's weird.
That's what I was putting.
Yeah, and it's going to be weird because of how John was when he was a young kid.
So let me ask you this. So always from what I've read, like I said, it's like I wear my cross, I want to sage everything. It's like, but I mean, if you summon him to protect with a demon, from what I've always learned, there's always a high price to pay.
Yeah, yeah, it's not all sunshine and rainbows.
Right.
Like I said, his favorite thing to do as a hobby is corrupt the pure.
So I do this for you, you do this for me.
Yes, exactly.
So, and yeah, that's crazy.
And the crazy thing is going into actually in some of John Pazuzu's, the real guy's, medical records and stuff, he talks about practicing that Sumerian religion.
Yeah.
And he is you can tell he is strictly worshiping Pazuzu only, because Pazuzu's rituals and things are once a month at a full moon, and you know, you kill a small animal, you give him offerings, you know what I mean? So it's pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah.
And what he does is in the demon Pazuzu protects against misfortune. So if you're worshiping him, which goes into why it took so long for this dude to get caught.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, seriously. Which is crazy. Yeah, that's what I was
I mean, all the stuff that we're gonna tell you that happened with the search warrants, with the cops and everything, it's almost like holy shit. Like, and there was actually, I didn't know this, but once I saw the statues of Pazuzu and things, and you know, they depict him to have, you know, a real ugly face, and supposedly just hit the sight of him can scare away the lesser demons. So that's, you know, he's basically one bad, mean motherfucker, and he can still help you at the same time, I guess. You know what I mean? But
he
also likes, but he always, you know, yeah, yeah, for sure. But
what about that, the stories you heard about, people worshiping him and causing people to lose their houses and shit?
Yeah, I mean, there's people to this day that you know, I've seen on a forum that, you know, people talk about, you know, summoning him, and they've talked to him in their dreams and talk about him being a bipolar. And I mean, not to discredit anyone's belief systems or anything, but you know, I don't know, it's just pretty crazy. And especially once we get into the nitty-gritty of this case, it's just, I don't know. Like I said, it made my hair stand up.
Yeah.
When I was like, oh, wow. The comparisons and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, this Pazuzu guy in real life, you'll see the pictures. I mean, he was one ugly, scary looking motherfucker.
Yeah.
So I want to say something really quick, because to not know the name of the girl
right
in The Exorcist is just because that's one of the scariest movies of all time. Her name was Reagan.
Reagan. And actually, you know, they actually not a lot of people know this, but that's the statue that he sees in the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's in Iraq or in the or where whatever country he's in, the priest in the beginning, yeah, the statue he's standing there looking at, the big wings, and
it's Pazuzu.
That's Pazuzu. That's who that statue is.
Okay, Sage. I need to get some
at least your
Sage.
Dog. At least your dog's named Sage.
Yeah.
True.
Get her down here.
Need her down here.
Need her to come down here and fart.
That's a good one.
It is a good one.
Okay, so you know, now that we got a little bit of a background on Pazuzu, the demon, and I'll kind of jump back in and throw some more points in there when we come across them. But starting out with John Alexander Lawson. He was, you know, had a rough childhood, you know, has definitely had some mental health issues for sure. Schizophrenia, a lot of other stuff.
His mom actually put him in a mental institution, didn't she?
Yeah, actually put him in there, you know, and she obviously couldn't afford it, you know. And I believe
as a kid, growing up, he lost his father to divorce. His mother was a serious alcoholic whenever he was young. On top of that, he has all these mental problems. We'll look up the exact names of it. I know they're pretty serious. She couldn't afford the medication. She was bringing men in and out of the house. That's all he saw. He was pretty much fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, she was always leaving him at the neighbors and and having, you know, guys in and out of the house. So he had it pretty rough, and I guess, you know, kids at school called him, you know, a
turd boy,
and, you know, he always smelled like shit, and, you know, I don't know, you know, what
his
that was.
His mom probably didn't teach him how to take care of himself.
You could definitely tell that this kid needed help early on and didn't get it, you know. And then he turned into one deranged fucking
fucker.
Dude. But, so I believe it was, I think he dropped out. He was an 18-year-old freshman.
Yeah.
So, you know, he never even made it through 1 year of high school. He dropped out, lived with his mom, and his friend Matt, you know, started...
Grade
school friend, you know, kind of been his only friend, said, you know, he started, once he dropped out of school, you know, he just wanted to be like, fuck you to the establishment, and, you know, pretty much if he couldn't be what everybody liked, then he was going to be what everybody hated.
He was going to be the total opposite.
Yeah.
From good to bad, he was going to be the worst that he could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, people started, you know, he's, you know, started partying and drinking and drugs, you know. They never talk much about it, but judging why, I'm pretty sure he was the local drug dealer. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure that's how he
said he was.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure that's where his following started, you know, because, you know, it turned into like this party house at first. And, you know, and
no
his
rules.
Friend Matt, yeah, no rules. It was, you know, but his friend Matt talked a lot about him. There's a couple people that the Vice documentary showed. And really, this Matt guy was one of the closest to him, really, and knew the most about him. And actually, is you'll learn later, the one that turns him in the end.
Before he was corrupted.
Yeah. But so Matt leaves for military because, you know, he was done with the drinking and the partying, and that's kind of all it really was when Matt left. And he came back like 4 years later to like a completely different Pazuzu. You know,
had he changed his
name?
He
had changed his name by then. Yeah, he'd already changed his name. He had already kind of, Matt said he had kind of starting to begin to get into that satanic stuff, like always, you know, like they'd be spray painting graffiti, you know, like, you know, fuck the police and like dumb shit, and he'd be over there like spray painting.
Yeah, I remember
like,
that.
Hail Satan and screaming weird stuff like
upside down pentagrams.
Yeah. So, but you know, Matt never really thought nothing of it. He just was like, "Oh, you crazy fucker," you know, kind of thing. And, you know, he came back and, you know, Pazuzu had tattoos all over his face. You know, the house obviously got way worse, which we'll post the video in the when they do a walkthrough of his house.
It's just kind of indescribable, really.
Yeah, and one of the things I caught too is in almost every room there was a drawing of Pazuzu, the demon. So you can definitely tell that, I mean, animal carcasses all over the house.
The basement had piles
and
of
that's
them.
The demon was something you really had to look into to see, because yeah. If you're just looking at the pictures or the rooms and stuff like that, that don't really stand out, but you did a job of hunting it down and finding it in all the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he even recalls, and it's so weird that this guy, you can't find no videos of this guy.
No, that's what freaks me out.
I mean, other than like one little part of him in the documentary, you hear the cop ask him about his names, and they ask what's Pazuzu mean, and all he says is, it's a Lord's name. Mm-hmm. You know, and I never put a lot of that together. I just thought, oh, it's crazy, methed out, fucking weird, you know, having mental issue kind
right.
of guy, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, the more I learned about Pazuzu the demon, I mean, this dude was legitimately followed, like, you know, yeah, there's like a lot of signs, like, you know, and a lot of the things that happen, you know, point back to that, you know, as far as, you know, protection of misfortunes, like getting arrested for murder.
Yeah, right.
Well, and he compared himself to what he said he was, a combination of Manson, Ramirez,
and Aleister Crowley.
There was other like, just he watched Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
Right. He watched like all of those Halloween movies.
His neighbor. Because his neighbor is the one that pretty much always had him.
Yeah.
You know, and
in the younger ages.
Right.
In the younger ages and stuff. And actually, me and Helena were talking about, he was really a nice looking boy.
Yeah, he was. He was really, very handsome.
He really was. It's just, you know, the more we get into it, we got into it and watched. And there was a journalist who takes you through the documentary that I really liked.
Because he was
great. Really trying to get down to the nitty gritty of what the true story was, and not, because there were so many rumors going around about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and how it goes in a small town.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't know.
Yes. So, the jumping back to the timeline of the real guy, Pazuzu, John Lawson. So Matt's coming back from the military. I think he was in Texas, and he got a call from an ex-girlfriend that was hanging out and partying with Pazuzu, and they partied back in the day. And really, Matt was done with that scene, but she was, you know, terrified, and basically just told him, you know, that she just buried a dead body, and that he needed to come get her, and she was scared.
Yeah.
And I guess Pazuzu and Amber.
Amber is Pazuzu's.
And Amber is
girlfriend.
One of Pazuzu's fiancés.
But it's his main girlfriend.
But yeah, it was like his main one, and he had quite a few.
And she was a good girl too, and I think she was in college and had a roommate friend, and her roommate said that she just was looking for something more, like, and because he was so wild and that his atmosphere was intoxicating, she couldn't get away from him, and that's what drew her in. That's a little bit about Amber, anyways, because I know she wasn't much talked about yet.
So Matt gets back from the military, and he gets a call from an ex-girlfriend that he used to hang out with and party with, Pazuzu, and he was in Texas at the time, so he was actually pretty far away. And she called him, said, "You need to get down here and get me right now. I just buried a dead body in Pazuzu's backyard." And he was like, "Oh fuck, gotta go now." So it come to find out that Pazuzu and one of his fiancés and Amber Birch, came up to Dixie's door and said, "Hey, you're going to help us bury this body, or we're going to slit your throat and put you in the hole with him." She didn't know who he was, but she later found out that it was Josh Wetzler, which is one of the two victims of Pazuzu. So to start talking about the real life Pazuzu, you know, and all the similarities and stuff, we'll kind of get to when the points come up. But you know, it all started out as basically Pazuzu, you know, dropped out of school. He was in and out of the mental health institutes as a child. Had a really rough childhood. You know, mental illness, and his mom couldn't afford to keep him on his medications and things that, you know, he needed. He didn't bathe. He had really bad hygiene. People at school called him turd boy. And one of his neighbors actually recalled, you know, driving him home from school. And I mean, he actually really just smelled like poop, like shit. And, you know, so having all that against him, you know, he dropped out of school and basically turned to, you know, what everybody didn't like. You know, he wanted to be the complete opposite of everybody else. You know, tattoos on his face, crazy, you know, stuff all over the house and drawings, and you know, to the outside, it just looked like, you know, a deranged individual or a messed up person. But there's more to it with the actual rituals and what he was worshiping. I mean, he really was actually worshiping this Pazuzu demon or god or whatever you want to call it. And you know, so that gives a little bit of insight to us and to me watching, knowing that now kind of paints a little bit of a picture of what was going on in his head. You know, but you know, talk about it, Vice actually had a lot of good stuff on there from like his friends and people that actually hung out there, because basically he probably became, you know, the local drug dealer, and you know, probably started making friends that way, you know, and a lot of the other kind of misfits and outcast kids started to gravitate there because people said there was no rules. You know, you could do whatever you wanted there, you know, do drugs, people even said they'd sit there and squat in the corner and take a shit, and you could piss on the carpet. I mean, you could literally do, you know, people said that the draw to come to Pazuzu's house was because you could act out like your sickest and wildest fantasies and just get an escape and free drugs and partying and you know. And of course Pazuzu liked it, you know, because he had friends now, you know, people liked him, you know, even though he had dreads, still never showered or fucking, you know, brushed his teeth in years, actually filed his teeth down with a Dremel tool to look to a point, you know, to look demonic. And I mean, he really looked fucking scary.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, they say Pazuzu in the history books, you know, was one of the scariest looking demons, that just the look of him scared lesser ones away.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he also liked to draw in people. He liked to have a following. Pazuzu liked to have a little group of people that he could corrupt and, yeah, manipulate and get to do his dirty work for him. You know, that was, yeah, he got enjoyment. He got off doing that, you know. And I mean, the system, you know, the Chad, I think his name was Chad Nance, the guy who did the Viceland documentary, he really pointed out how bad the system really kind of failed this kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then you throw in, like, you know, the spiritual evil powers of a demon, and I mean, you got
a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Deranged.
Yeah.
Deranged.
And his mom wasn't much of a help either.
Yeah, I mean, the mom, you know, she lived in the house with him the whole time this was going on. I mean, you know, so we'll get into it, you know, if anybody knows the story or whatnot. But, you know, from going on here forward, everything you're about to hear, there was two bodies buried in this guy's backyard for 5 years.
Yep. Yeah.
While all this that we tell you now, starting now, went on, there was bodies buried in his backyard.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
and he bragged about it.
Yeah,
yeah,
he did.
Yeah, he bragged about it. I mean, everyone knew it. Everyone in the town knew it.
Everybody knew it.
Everybody knew it. And the police turned a blind eye. You know, they did a search warrant, you know, 2 years before they actually found the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the first search warrant, they didn't even look in the backyard.
Yeah, the first search warrant.
They didn't even go in the house.
The first search warrant, and this is the thing about that protection against misfortune for the people that worship Pazuzu, because the cops came up, knocked on the door, said, "Hey, we heard you killed somebody and he's buried in your backyard. Is that true?"
Yeah.
No? Okay, thanks. Have a nice day. Yeah, cop turned around and left. Nothing ever happened of it. And now we're going to, you know, we'll get into some of the people and involved and some really some key players and, you know, how he ended up getting caught and going down. And
can you kind of set up like the scene of what it was on? Because I don't know, if I'm a cop, even a cop, I mean, if you go up to somebody's front door, what does his front door look like?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's I mean, he crazy. Had swastikas and you know, all these demonic symbols and all his writing.
And
you
stuff
know,
against and, the establishment.
Yeah, door. Yeah. And
it was pretty much this land here, like before, what was it? Before your guys' authority, this land was free or whatever. And yeah. It was like, we'll post a picture of some of this stuff.
Door. And to paint a scene for you going forward, I mean, when you think of a party house, which I'm sure we've all kind of been in some houses, you know,
yep.
That
yeah,
you know, that, you know, people literally just have, you know, throw parties in their house and nobody gives a shit. But I mean, this place was, I mean, just looking and watching it, like I can almost smell it. Like just looking at it, that's how nasty it looks. You can literally like smell it. Yeah. Like, I mean,
trash,
oh my God.
Trash came up to your ankles, sometimes higher than on the room you were in.
Yeah, and the mother lived there like that the whole time too. All this was going on. I mean, dead animal carcasses in the house from his monthly fucking sacrifices.
Yeah.
On the full moon, which you know that I mean animal carcasses
and
all over the basement.
Didn't somebody say something about the smell? And he said it was bodies in his basement.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
somebody got a body in the basement with
yeah, and
on
actually
it.
That was a
kitty litter
and bleach
for the smell.
For the smell,
yeah.
And people, I don't think people really believed him. I think they thought he was just crazy,
out
and shit. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
But he wasn't lying.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't at
well,
all.
Well, and too, they showed a picture of one of the light fixtures that had like 25-30 air fresheners hanging from it.
Yeah.
Like that's gonna help.
Yeah.
Like, oh, and he had like probably 8 or 10 dogs in there at a time, you know, which I'm sure they helped clean up.
The
unfortunately.
One thing, I mean, I have been and you know, I mean we
I hope
have
all those doggies got good homes though.
Yeah.
That's what I say. I was like, oh, if the dogs got good homes.
We're always worried about them. But, you know, that everybody that said it, when that door opened, they would just be hit with a wall of urine smell. One girl
and ammonia.
Even said it was, told him, she actually looked at him and said, your house smells like death.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's house. And that's when he's told her, because there's a body in the basement.
Yeah.
And she didn't believe him. And I was actually Amber Birch is his old roommate, which Amber Birch, she's another one. She actually did murder someone.
And she lived in the house.
And she lived in the house. It was Pazuzu's wife.
Fiance.
Same. He had multiple fiancés.
They said on Facebook they claimed they were married, but I don't think they were
legally
married.
They weren't, no. I mean, no.
So let's talk about some of the victims and and Matt.
Yeah, and pretty much the key person to all this was this guy named Matt, and it was Pazuzu's good friend. You know, they had known each other through high school and after high school, and you know, Matt said he was around in the beginning and when Pazuzu, you know, dropped out of school, and you know, he did actually change his name to Pazuzu, and Matt started to notice him getting a little devilish, a little evil, but he never really thought nothing of it, you know, because dude was already kind of whacked anyway.
Yeah, he said when they were kids, like younger kids, they would go into the tunnels and stuff and they would spray paint. I mean, they were just kids. That's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, Matt and him would be spray painting, you know, their names or fucked police or, you know, rap.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, stuff like that, you know, and then he's over there spray painting, you know, devil worshiping stuff and probably Pazuzu and all kinds of shit, screaming, you know, all kinds of Latin Satanist stuff.
Upside down pentagrams.
Yeah,
so, you know, and Matt said at that time he was about to leave for the military and, you know, he didn't really think nothing of it. Just like, you know, crazy. Weird fucker, whatever. And you know, so then Matt, you know, leaves, does a stint in the military, comes back home and gets a call from an ex-girlfriend while he was in Texas, who he used to hang out with, and she partied and was into the Pazuzu crowd and hung out over there. And she called him and said, "Matt, I need you to come get me. I just helped Pazuzu and Amber bury a body, and I need you to come get me." So Matt's like, "Holy fuck, you know, like, what the hell?" So he takes off, goes down there and gets her, and supposedly Pazuzu came and knocked on her door at like 1 in the morning or something, and Pazuzu and Amber and said, "Hey, you need to help us bury this body or we're going to slit your throat and put you in there with him." So, of course, she goes and helps him, and come to find out, when she gets down there, it's a body in a basement, halfway decomposing, covered in cat litter and bleach. So he had also just told Amber Birch's roommate earlier, or you know, a few weeks ago, however long ago it was, that there was a body in the basement when she said, "Hey, your house smells like death."
Yeah. Amber wanted to invite her over to Pazuzu's because it was her best friend before she moved in there, and she wanted to see what she thought of him. And then, you know, that's why she was there, she says.
Yeah. So, to jump on real quick to, because there's a lot of information and we have a ton to keep talking about with this one. But talk a little bit about the victim and the body down in the basement covered in bleach and litter. And that was Josh Wetzler. And he was, you know, a dad, had a girlfriend. He had just lost his farm. He got arrested, got a felony drug charge. He was, you know, trying to sell mushrooms and weed through the mail and got caught. And he was just doing it for side money because they had lost their farm. And, you know, he was basically doing it for income at the time. And then, of course, after he got hit with that, then, you know, his chances of getting a job in this little town was, you know, basically zero to none now. And, you know, so what does all people do in that situation is, you know, they slowly get gravitated or pulled towards Pazuzu's house. And I guess he was hanging out there and basically started living there and all that. And no one really, really knows what actually happened or what caused this. But and Pazuzu shot him 8 times and supposedly tortured him and starved him. All kinds of stuff to him.
In the basement, yeah.
And the mom actually heard the gunshot, came downstairs, seen Josh laying on the floor. Pazuzu looked at her and said something. I can't remember. Do you remember what he...
That was after she left for work. She heard a gunshot, and after she went back into her room, proceeded to get ready for work, and then when she went to leave for work, he said, "I guess I'll finish him off."
Yeah.
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 And she just left. Yeah. Yep. Like, and it was just left. Normal behavior. Yep.
And so, you know, his girlfriend, Stacy, she's another big player in the documentary. And, you know, she talks a lot. And, you know, he basically...
Josh's girlfriend.
Yes, Josh's girlfriend. She didn't know where he was. You know, and at the time, they weren't together. They were just kind of co-parenting.
But they had a good relationship.
And they had a good relationship, you know, but... you know, she just didn't know, and she thought he was maybe had left to find a new job, and she didn't report him missing because she didn't want, you know, his probation officer to come after him or him get in trouble. So she kind of just let it go. And I think, you know, a few years went by, and, you know, he was still missing. She went to the police, and nothing came out of it. Well, she went to the police.
It was 8 months, soon. Wasn't it?
It was 8 months.
Eight months after he went missing. She
heard something that
her friend, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, she had heard a rumor that somebody killed Josh and buried him in Pazuzu's backyard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So skip forward a little bit of time, and that's when Amber's roommate is with a friend at a party, and I thought this was pretty cool, you know, spirits of good and evil, you know, and she actually talks about how she feels like this is what got her, you know, clean
to drugs.
And
she said that she thought God got her addicted to drugs to put her in that situation to help this girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and real quick too, to jump back to Matt real fast. I don't want to forget about him because right when he found this out and he took Dixie to away or wherever, he never seen her again. She was gone. They don't even really talk about her anymore. And that's all we really hear about her. But he goes to the police and he gives off an anonymous tip. He didn't actually go there in person yet. He just called in, gave an anonymous tip, and this was after Stacy had already went also.
So you have two people now that's gone to the police.
And they were almost exactly the same exact time.
Yeah.
They were like within the same week that they both went to the police and said there's a body buried in Pazuzu's backyard.
Yeah.
So now the cops, they go to his house, they knock on this dude's door, say, "Hey, we heard you killed somebody and it's buried in your backyard. Did you do it?" And the guy, "Well, what's Pazuzu gonna say?" "No." Yeah. And then the cop turns around and leaves. Yeah. Nothing. Nothing.
No, nothing.
Yeah, so, and
I wonder if the cop was a little afraid.
After reading the note on the door, which there will be a picture up of it, but
you know, I'm sorry, I call bullshit on that because if you're a cop and you say, no, I'm not saying bullshit on you. I'm just saying bullshit on the cop because you go up there, and I don't judge people, but you have two people come up. You have this crazy looking dude come up. He's got all kinds of crap on his door.
I'm sure they can smell it, too, you know.
You can smell, you know, because everybody said as soon as you open the door, it smells like one person said death, urine, whatever. I mean, in your head, do you call backup?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Why would you show up alone in the first place?
Don't just go, okay, sorry to bother you, and go on your merry way.
Yeah, and I believe they did conduct a search, and actually they came back with a warrant. And searched the first time and never found anything.
It took a few weeks, though, but they ended up coming back after somebody else went, right?
Yeah.
Their excuse was that they couldn't get the equipment that was going to be able to tell them if there was a body buried.
Yeah.
They came back
and I called bullshit again.
Cadaver dogs. Yeah.
And
it was supposed to be 2 weeks. I guess the person they called to get the equipment, it said it was going to be 2 weeks. And they were like, that's too long.
Yeah.
So they got the Godiver dogs, and the Godiver dogs, am I saying that right?
Cadaver
dogs didn't do shit.
Yeah.
Well, of course not. When, you know, it's made dogs you got in there, and I mean, dead animals, all kind. I mean, that dog's probably like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Holy shit. I mean, as bad as people said it smelled, I couldn't imagine having a dog's nose in that motherfucker.
I know, man.
Yeah, for real.
But, yeah, so, you know, all this is going on, and then Pazuzu and his, a friend of his pick up a man from a store, convenience store, totally at random.
Nicholas.
Yeah, Nicholas. And pick this guy up, they take him down to the river, and shoot him in the head on a full moon. They don't say all this way, but I'm pretty sure that was obviously a sacrifice or a ritual
because
it's the same place he would go to sacrifice animals for his monthly religion, and somehow there's not a lot of information on this, so we can't talk about it. But he got accessory after the fact. They said it was an accident. They were shooting target practice.
Yeah.
Didn't know this guy. They never met this guy before.
Gun backfired.
We don't even know how. Yeah.
The shotgun backfired, and they left.
They left, went back to the car, got a gun, came back down, and shot the guy.
Yeah.
And that's from accounts from his friends. Because after Pazuzu did all his shit, he went back to his house and threw parties and bragged about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, people were aware, you know, but they all just thought he was crazy. Like, oh yeah, whatever. You know what I mean?
It's crazy, yeah.
And, you know, so there's a lot of this stuff that we don't even know much about, so we can't really give you guys a whole lot on some of it.
And then the guy who shot him got what? Manslaughter?
Yeah, the guy who shot him got manslaughter in like 10 to 17 years, and fucking Pazuzu got 5 years probation and got to go home.
Yeah.
So the thing is, too, some of this stuff is really vague. It's like the journalist that, you know, is throughout the whole documentary. He is even like trying to dig for information, and
I mean,
not even the poor mother of Nicholas that was shot by the river.
Yeah,
I mean, she didn't even know any. They would tell her nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing about the court. She's like, they told me I didn't have to be there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's weird. It's
because like, they knew, they didn't want. That happening? I mean, really, I think it does have something to do with the Satanism of Pazuzu.
Well,
I mean,
it's scary,
really, because we didn't put it together. We didn't look into that stuff until after we saw the documentary.
But the thing is, all four of us kept saying, why?
Yeah.
Did it take so long?
Yeah.
And how did they not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like a force.
So that all happens, and so now skip forward to 5 years after Josh had originally went missing, and excuse me. So 5 years after he went missing, Matt is just sitting there stewing. His friend Matt from who we talked about before is just sitting there stewing with this information in his head that he knows that. There's a body back there, and it's just killing him because he was actually at a friend with a friend of his, and the guy told him, he said, if you sit there knowing that, it makes you no better or no less than Pazuzu himself.
Yeah.
But Pazuzu also said to Matt, I know you are the one that was the anonymous.
Yeah. Yeah, Pazuzu did call him out on that. Yeah.
That gave me
It's
crazy.
And also, they were all hanging out one time, and this was when Matt started doing his own little investigation now. So Matt goes over there and he's kind of hanging out with Pazuzu again, you know, obviously not getting into none of the whack crazy shit.
He said he did it literally to keep him from hurting anyone else because the police weren't doing anything.
Yeah. So Matt basically takes this into his own hands, and what made him finally snap was they were all hanging out, and there was this big, muscular, real big guy. I mean, Matt was from the Army, and he said this dude's one of the biggest cut-up, muscular dudes I've seen in a long time. And I guess, you know, him and Pazuzu were kind of taking jabs at each other a little bit.
He didn't like the way Pazuzu was talking to his mom.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And he was dating his mom, if I believe she was the one who had him there, right?
No.
Why was he there?
Probably to buy drugs or maybe, something. Yeah. I mean, anybody was welcome, obviously. I mean, not anybody, but anywho. Right. They didn't really say much about that, but so Pazuzu calls Matt into the kitchen, like, hey, come here, you know, and Matt walks into the kitchen, and he goes, hey, let's kill this motherfucker. Like, his whole demeanor changed. He looked Matt square in the face, serious, and said, hey, let's kill this guy. Here, you do it. And he was trying to get Matt to go kill this guy for him. And
corruption.
And, So, and Matt was like, well, fuck you, man, whatever. I'm going to go get some cigarettes and shit.
He said he smacked his head off the table.
Yeah, like
when
pushed his
out.
Head again, you know, smacked his head off the cabinet, like, play, you know, kind of playing around, like, fuck you, man, I'm not doing that, whatever.
Thinking he was or pretending to act like he thought
and
he was
And he
joking.
Said he walked up to the guy, the big muscular guy, and whispered in his ear and said, hey, man, this guy wants me to, he wants me to murder you. You need to leave now and never come back. And they left, and Matt said he took that guy out to Red Lobster, bought him dinner, and fucking never seen the dude again in his life. And he said after that, he said, I went down to the police station and said, look, if you guys don't go get this guy, I'm going to go put a bullet in his head myself, and I'll come back and turn myself in.
Yeah.
He said, because there is a body in that backyard, and I know exactly where it's at.
Yeah.
And he said he drew like a little picture to the cops and marked right exactly where he thought it was. So, you know, now they go bust in there. They get another search warrant. Haul Pazuzu, his girlfriend Amber, and is it Crystal or Kristen Matlock?
I think it's Kristen. Oh, is it?
It's Crystal.
Crystal. And they take all them in and start the search warrant on the house. And I believe 5 days into the search warrant, they found Josh. So upon searching the house and digging up a skull, which obviously was Josh Wetzler, they kind of kept digging around and actually found that the body of Tommy Dean Welch, who was another missing person in the area and had not really been known around that around Pazuzu's area, and he was never really linked. Nobody really seen that one coming. They were just like, oh shit, you know, here's another one.
Yeah.
And actually Amber Birch is the one that shot and killed him. And she actually bragged about it. Her about him being her first.
Yeah, he kill. Was walking down the road. I'm not sure what road. I'm assuming in that suburban area to meet his brother. Yeah. He was meeting his brother, and I'm assuming they knocked him out on the back of the head. I think that's what they said. And
yeah.
Dragged him to the house and shot him to death.
So, two, I said the man that they had killed on the river, I had said it was his name was Nicholas. His name was actually Joseph, and it was Nicholas Rizzo.
Rizzo.
Rizzo. That is the one that was charged with the murder.
Involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah.
They said it was an accident.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It is known ritual grounds. So now that everybody kind of knows the story, and obviously these three got charged with murder, because I believe Crystal Matlock, she was just involved. I think she got accessory after the fact is what she got for just being involved with it all. And
yeah, she apologized to the families. And
yeah. And,
which doesn't make it right, but she did.
Yeah, so
during her court hearing.
And there was a lot of people, I mean, that this dude affected and dragged into this. I mean, almost everybody that they talked to almost knew about this or, you know, somehow helped without even knowing that they helped.
Didn't really realize it till later.
Yeah, there was a guy named Nate Anderson who was in the documentary as well, and a lot talked about a lot of accounts at Pazuzu's, and you know, him and his girlfriend Jenna were, you know, both known heroin addicts, and at the time, and he had really good credit, Nate did, and went and pulled out a loan from Lowe's, got one of those Lowe's credit cards, and would buy, you know, power tools and then take them and sell them at the pawn shops to get money for drugs and so on and so forth. So around this time, you know, that he had that, these murders had happened, and you know, they were, you know, taken care of in the house, and Amber came up to Nate and said, "Hey, we're trying to fix up the house.
We're finally cleaning the house.
We're finally gonna try to clean the house up." And blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And so Nate was like, "Oh, cool. Okay, well, that's cool. Like, I'll buy you guys some floor." Well, you know, after they ripped the carpet all up and put all the new flooring down, Nate learned and started hearing the rumors about the murders.
Yeah.
He also said in his interview he couldn't remember if he helped rip up the carpet or not.
Yeah.
Which, he says he thinks that it was ripped up before he got there, but he can't remember if he did or not.
Yeah.
Which I'd probably say that too. Shit.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. Nate got in trouble for something. He had to go to court, and he was like freaking out.
Yeah.
Because this is where all this was going on.
Yeah. Him and Jenna were both on probation.
Yeah. So he has to go into court and is freaking out, thinking that they're going to bring up, you know,
Pazuzu and drag him into it. Why would you feel that way?
Yeah.
You know?
I think there was a lot of people. Well, there was. There was so many people involved. It was like the young girl, her father.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! I forgot all about that one.
Tell them about that.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Actually,
she was the very first person
to report anything.
Yeah,
and it was Pazuzu's neighbor, and he had been her
He divorced her mother.
Yeah, and started fooling around with Crystal Matlock, which was like, you know, around the same age as his own daughter.
Yeah. Are you sure it wasn't his mom? He was with his...
It was Crystal.
It was Crystal.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he started messing around with her, and, you know, he literally told her, like, hey, they just buried a body.
Well, she followed.
Yeah.
She followed him to Pazuzu's house, the daughter did. And he came running out saying, "Get out of here. Get out of here now."
Well, wasn't it that... Okay, so he showed up at the house. She was at home hanging out. He came in and he sat down next to her and he was shaking really bad.
Yeah.
With dirt on his boots, she said, right? Like he was dirty, and he looked up at her and said, "Have you ever smelled death?"
Yeah.
And then he left, and she
was smelling his hands.
Yeah, he smelled his hands.
She's like, what the fuck are you, what are you doing, man?
And that's when he said, have you ever smelled death? And she just had a bad feeling, so she, like, followed him to Pazuzu's house. And whenever she pulled up and he realized she was there, that's when he was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And Crystal actually helped bury the bodies, helped Amber bury Tommy's body, because I remember they also, there was an account where Amber or Crystal said she, where Crystal was saying she didn't really want to help, but
felt like she didn't have a choice.
Yeah, but she had flip-flops on, mm-hmm. and she couldn't use the shovel.
Right.
And I think somebody, Amber, went into the house and, or no, she wore Tommy's boots.
Yeah.
She put, that's right. That's
she
right.
took yeah. the dead guy, she took
she wore the
Tommy
dead guy's
Welch's
boots
off, that's so fun. Put that's them so on her feet up. To bury him.
God, that's so messed up. Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with you?
So this girl with her dad, you know, she goes to the police even knowing that her dad is involved in this, but... I mean, that took a lot of courage for her.
And she actually popped up in the very end and said, you know, they talked to her and she said, thank God my dad passed away because he'd be in prison right now with those three.
Yeah, he passed away.
Because he did. Didn't somebody, I could be wrong on this, but didn't somebody have a Polaroid picture of
Dixie.
A knee?
Matt. And Dixie gave it to Matt.
Okay.
Yeah. She took a photo on her phone, right? Of the grave?
Yeah. Yeah. A knee was sticking out. Yeah. I mean, that is just
they covered proof. They covered it with a blue tarp.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's just crazy.
Look, yeah, it just kills me, man, because the dirt that they showered these blue tarps with, every corner of these blue tarps were still exposed. Like, how can you fucking miss that? I don't understand. And that's why I really was believing more mental health when we first started discussing this. And once we really learned about who the demon Pazuzu was, not John, it really struck me that, you know, John was a good-looking young kid. He looked clean-cut. Yeah, he had some issues, but was he corrupted?
Well,
did he channel himself through this kid?
I honestly agree a lot with the journalist.
Yeah.
What is his name?
Chad Nance.
Yes.
Chad
Nance. I really like him. I mean, he really tried to
get
to
the root. Yeah, I liked him a lot. Yeah, he wasn't very... He looked at it from all angles. Because he even said the media portrayed... really kind of ran him down on a lot of the stuff. And I thought that too, but the more I started looking at the drawings on this guy's... I mean, right when you walk in his front door, there's a drawing of Pazuzu, the demon, right there. I mean, it's the first thing you see when you walk in this guy's front door, like the motherfucker's, you know, watching his door for him, you know?
Yeah, and then,
I mean, spray painted on the whole ceiling, big. The whole ceiling was that.
I mean, you know, I think the other thing, talking about him, the journalist, I think the other thing that really affected me was when he was sitting there on his back porch. He said, that's my, you know, that's where I go. And he said, I remember working on something and I looked up and seen my son. And he was sweaty. His eyes were bugging out. And
it hits home with them because of addiction.
He knew at that moment that his son was dabbling in stuff that he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And he said everything about, you know, Pazuzu's place and what he's been doing. And he looked at his son at that moment and said... you could have been one of them at Pazuzu's house.
One of those kids looking for that sanctuary.
So it's really kind of ironic the way he is going through all of this as, you know, as a journalist and then turn around to see his son, you know, and what could be. It's just...
yeah.
This whole case just kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, and there's so a lot of accounts. And then, like, well, it's a lot more hearsay accounts than... like actual evidence. I mean, there's not a whole lot of evidence on this guy.
Well, no, and the weird thing is that we were talking about earlier today is there is no video of this
interrogation, him being arrested, him being taken out of the house,
only photos,
him being in the jail cell, and then you know, just to go ahead and get to this part, But how long was he in prison? 2 years after he was arrested? Was it a year or 2 years after he was arrested?
I think it was... I don't think it was a year. I think it was a year.
A year, yeah. So he ended up killing himself on the full moon when he was supposed to sacrifice something. He winds up dead with a wound to his wrist. Some people say he bit at his own wrist and
because they couldn't find
and died from blood loss. But I mean, his account was from blood loss. But the autopsy says that they don't really think it was a bite wound to his wrist. But they never found any weapons or anything in there. But it, when he died, it was on a full moon. It was on his night.
Prisoners there were also saying like that were interviewed that he was very frantic about the full moon coming up and that he really had to sacrifice something, and they all kind of looked at him like he was crazy, and then he told a bunch of people he was going to kill himself that was in there, the prisoners.
Yeah, so
to sacrifice himself, they just didn't believe that it would happen.
I mean,
because of him sacrificing these animals and stuff, he actually contracted hepatitis A. There's a bunch of stuff. I actually have... We'll put a copy up of his...
we'll put some copies
of his... Psychiatric evaluation Facebook page.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
Well...
But...
Yeah.
It honestly, at first, when I first started watching all this, I really thought it was, a bunch of bullshit, about his... they said his made-up religion and stuff of, like, But what I learned was, dude, this shit is not made up.
No,
it's not real. A made up religion. It is a very real religion, and people to this day still practice this religion. And
genuinely think that they've never came across something like this, and they didn't want to panic the public.
Yeah.
Well,
why else would you not expose an interrogation video?
And was there even one? Thing is,
Cobb literally just turned around and walked off his front
porch.
Well,
they said Amber folded on him immediately, too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Immediately she folded on him.
Well, too, the other thing is all the search warrants were sealed. And they weren't released until Crystal Malloch. Why do I keep getting her
Amber
name
Birch.
Until their cases were done.
And they were sentenced.
And once they opened them, it's like Josh's...
Josh's son, should have been getting Social Security for those 5 years that his dad was missing.
And they only gave him Social Security for the day they found his freaking bones.
Yeah. And Josh, when they found his, they'd put his skull in a bucket, because that was basically all that was left of him.
Right.
Yeah. But they did, Stacy ended up going, Pazuzu's mom pretty much disappeared. Nobody could interview her.
Moved into a new house.
Nothing. So,
and she knew about them all.
The journalist, he contacted Stacy, and because he figured that was the only way
she would talk to someone.
She would talk to someone, and she accepted. And I was even kind of nervous. I was like, God, what would you do to face the mother?
I know.
Knowing that the mother knew. And even like Ron said, how is his mother not like in jail?
I know, and she was so calm when talking about it. I mean, I know it was years later, but that's still it shakes you, man.
The one that got me was like when Stacy was talking about her son and like said, I don't know, she said something about like, oh, he's already doing this, and then Cynthia, Pazuzu's mom was like, oh yeah, they grow up so fast. What?
But I can't relate either because I don't have children. People would probably go to the extreme to protect their kids.
I'm going to say this right now, bud.
Here we go.
Yeah, seriously.
You will do a lot for your child.
Yeah.
But to sit there and watch and know that... I'm not going to work. I'll tell you that right now. We're going to have a long frigging conversation and figure shit out. She has to have some kind of mental
issues. There's no way
to
allow it.
But one thing she said,
I think she was afraid of him.
I do too.
Manipulated. Look at all the people.
Around him his aura was completely intoxicating. No matter what,
him and Amber actually were. charged with abuse to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a couple yeah, cases of domestic where Amber actually choked her.
Yeah.
Or no, what was it?
He did.
Pazuzu choked her until she passed out.
Of course, after they were arrested and stuff, she never went anywhere. She dropped the charges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she did drop the charges. But the one thing she, you know, because there was pictures of him from, and we'll put these pictures up, but there was pictures of him young, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to say normal because, I mean, everybody's got tattoos.
Yeah.
I'm not yeah. everybody, but yeah. I...
Who cares?
Exactly. But he just had this look about him, you yeah. know, and even...
Very misfit.
So he had it when he was young, and then kind of his path to destruction,
right.
pretty much. But one thing she said that resonated with me in a way as a mom, she was like, I just want to remember the good things.
Yeah.
You know, but my God.
How can you?
How, yeah. I mean, that's just, it's, this case really...
is fucked.
It,
yeah, deranged.
Deranged. It really yeah, is. A lot of people's lives got, I think one of the detectives or something says it was like he was holding like a bomb and he just let it go and it just went
yeah
and just spread out to
yeah.
everybody around him. It affected, how could it not affect people?
I know.
That's what Pazuzu did
yeah.
in ancient times. Is what he did.
I know. I mean, how did no one hear these gunshots? That's another thing. All these houses are so close.
There are people that in the neighborhood said that they did hear gunshots, but
right.
I mean,
yeah, without reporting them, of course.
I hear gunshots all over the place.
That's what I was saying to him because he was like, "How can someone not report that?" And I was like, "Well, we live in an area where houses are spread out, and we actually heard like what 4 or 5 shotgun shots go off like mm-hmm. a week ago, and we didn't even blink an eye over it."
Yeah, we. I mean,
because out here, I mean,
we don't.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's difficult.
Yeah, I mean, just to think though, man, like, them bodies sat back there for 5 years, and then people partied and lived there and went about their daily
most
thing.
Of them knew.
It never slowed down until he was arrested. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
Even if you heard the rumors, I mean, you know, we had a few places we went to that was pretty crazy. If I would have even heard rumors that there were bodies,
I know.
I'm sorry. I'm not.
It's not
funny
to me
either. When I said I went
either.
To some, like, we've been to some rough place. I mean, like, just kind of messy, not like.
Oh, this
shit
place.
And
this
piss
place was
and,
they condemned it.
Oh yeah,
they tore it down.
It was
yeah.
condemned, not livable,
lot,
dude. Not
yeah,
livable.
Tore it down.
And all the neighbors had a picnic and shit out front.
Yeah,
they were all sitting out there.
They wanted
had
it
like
gone.
A street party while they tore the house down and shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, there was a ritual room where I mean they had to have hazmat suits.
Yeah.
When they went in,
they had
there.
To bust the windows out.
To just breathe.
So you could breathe in there. I mean, or get it, yeah. And that was where a lot of animal carcasses were. That's where they did a lot of their rituals and had sex and shit in there. It's God. Ugh. Oh,
I mean, the one thing that, you know, when I think it was Matt, I think, was saying that it was nothing to look over in the corner and somebody squatting and taking a dump.
No, it yeah. wasn't Matt. That was Crazy Dave.
Oh, Crazy Dave. That was only in yeah. 2 episodes.
Matt
well, Nate
said
a bunch
Matt
of stuff about
got,
that, too.
Matt
he said the
he
dogs
got,
would eat it and shit. That's the
yeah.
only way it would get cleaned up is if the dogs ate
the
some of
the
shit.
The only reason Matt was really around in those scenes, I mean, after he left for the military, he was said he was kind of done with all that, and then he heard what Dixie had said, and he went back and seen it all for himself and was like, man, fuck this. Mm-hmm. Went away, but then he said he just couldn't live with himself knowing that there was someone's body back there
right.
in that backyard, and he knew about it.
Yeah. yeah.
And he knew it was there.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He knew.
So, I know the two went, they've been released already, so they're done with their, I think.
Who,
two,
Amber?
I think Amber and Crystal both are done with their sentences. I think they've both been released.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I mean, I knew Crystal, but I didn't know Amber was released.
I'm pretty sure.
They didn't say much about Crystal, really.
I know she got,
I,
like,
I just know
four,
she,
4 or 5 years.
I know
Crystal did.
I know, really, she just admitted to knowing about it mm-hmm. and helping get rid, bury the bodies, get rid of the evidence. But I know Amber was whacked.
Yeah.
He really corrupted her. I mean, she was...
And the other thing, I just hope... because the two, Nate and Jenna,
yeah,
you know, they ended up, they have a child. They're not together anymore.
No.
But supposedly they're both clean. So I really hope they stay that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really do.
The Jenna girl, and this is another thing, when she was in the Pazuzu scene, she wrecked and hit a guy on a bike and paralyzed this guy for, and was getting, she was laughing as she was putting the cop car in. All she
That's
got was,
why she was on probation all she in the got, first place.
All she got, 7 years probation. And, yeah. And a guy is in a wheelchair for the rest of his life because of her, because she was high and smacked him and hit him with a car. And she got 7 years probation and claimed to have some kind of personal or separate
she had a disorder. That,
some personality split personality disorder or something. I mean, she was literally like sticking her tongue out like and shit when she was getting arrested. Like she just fucking
she said she don't remember it.
Yeah, that's what she says.
But whatever. Yeah.
But I think Nate like he looked really good, and I think there's a reason they're not together anymore. Yeah. So I feel like she probably is still fucked up.
And that sucks because of the kid, man. I hate to hear that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But. And then, you know, Matt, I hope that, because I know at the end of the documentary, you know, he was, it kind of seemed to me like he kind of felt guilty.
He was losing it a little bit,
and
wasn't he?
He was drinking a lot.
Burning
and,
himself with cigarettes.
And yeah, that
said he
me
said
a
it
lot.
Was over.
Yeah.
Said he didn't feel pain.
Yeah. Yeah, but at the very, very end, when they were sitting in the diner, at the very end, He looked pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
And he actually got a tattoo.
He had some weight.
He got a tattoo on his bicep of one of the angels slaying Lucifer, and then actually got Pazuzu's death date tattooed underneath it.
Oh my goodness.
So
yeah.
You know, he claims, you know, how he misses his friend John,
but not Pazuzu.
But not
Pazuzu. Because
he literally said it was like a completely different person.
Yeah.
You know? And
it looks like one, like in the photos, dude. It really does look like two different people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the thing too. Pazuzu was said to be so scary and ugly and vile looking that, you know, it scared everybody away. You know, scared any lesser demons away and shit.
But you know, too. You know, I know we were talking earlier about the sealed search warrants and stuff like that. And I honestly, and we have not. I mean, I have respect for law enforcement, and I always will, but...
Yeah.
every episode we've done so far...
is with corrupt police.
No, it's not really corrupt police. It's
mistakes.
Sucky...
Lack
mistakes.
Of care, dude.
Mishandling
lack
of evidence.
Passion to do what you're supposed to fucking do.
It scares... I'm like, you know, God. I hope I don't come up missing.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I
have to depend on the police to find my ass because
If I was a detective, okay, and you and we had so the first account of the rumor that went to the police was the girls that and her dad.
Yeah.
I think her name was Tara. She was the first one, and then Stacy reported Josh missing and supposedly had heard a rumor that Pazuzu killed him.
Yeah,
and the mom,
and then Matt and mom,
and then
Yeah.
And then Matt.
Yeah.
And then 5 years went by.
5 years.
Five more years went by. 5 years went by. And then Matt was finally like, went to the police station, was like, look, I'm going to go kill this motherfucker if you guys don't go get him right now.
So tell everybody.
And come and turn myself in.
And then I'll go turn myself in.
So once the documents were unsealed and the journalist took it to that retired detective, tell everybody what the detective said.
Oh yeah,
he would have done. You know, he would have went to the door.
Oh yeah, so so he had the Chad Nance, the guy who produced the documentary on Vice. He actually brought in a friend of his who used to be an investigator and a detective. And like I was saying, if I was a detective, man, and I had all these rumors and I knocked on this guy's door, and I mean,
the last thing
I wouldn't be able to
ask.
Let that go for 5 years. You
the
know
last
what I mean?
Thing you're going
to
say,
I wouldn't be able
you, you
to because I would almost feel like, oh my God. Okay.
I just,
you know,
and
why
understand.
Would so many different people, you know, say that?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's absolutely insane.
So, what did he say if he lived next door to him?
That was the CSI agent.
That's who we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about the really old man that...
That's the...
Yeah, there was a really bigger man that was a CSI agent.
That's the journalist who we're talking about. Oh,
yeah, the journalist was about to. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
at the same time, yeah.
No, but no, yeah. The guy you're talking about. Go ahead. That's who I was about to talk about after I said if I was a detective.
I already done lost my train. Go ahead. Seriously, go.
Well, no, but anyway, so this guy, Chad brought this guy in, an old friend. That's he was an investigator. And he looked over the search warrants and was picking out discrepancies. And like you said, the first thing was this fucking cop went up and said, "Hey, did you kill somebody and bury him in your backyard?" No, like, well,
what are they gonna say? Yeah.
So he's like, you know what I would have done is I would have gave a reason to go into his backyard and look around and not, you know,
somebody said you're growing weed in your backyard.
Yeah, just to get back there and look around, and that way I could get, you know, something solid on this guy.
Well, the thing he said, you know, go up and say, "Hey, somebody's saying you're growing weed in the backyard." Well, Zuzu is going to say, "Well, no, I'm not.
Go look.
Right.
And that way he can go and see if he sees anything. That would give him time, and if he did, that would give him a warrant get a warrant to search.
Yeah.
And they come back and say, "Now we're here, and you got bodies in your backyard.
Yeah.
And we got a warrant this time."
Yeah.
Improper training, obviously.
You know, it just blows my mind on. And we, like I said, we have not set out to do that because I have.
Yeah, we really haven't been picking these cases corruption or anything like that.
No, not at all.
It just seems to be a common trend in some of these.
But it's like deranged stories. There are cases that are, you know, that the cops are on it and everything like this. But the last, I'm just like, holy shit.
I know.
That's crazy. Because even as a person just sitting back watching this, you're like, really?
How?
You just asked a question and believed him and walked away.
Yeah.
And then you've got these families that are missing their loved ones, you know, and suffering.
Yeah.
And all along, these people were in this dude's backyard, like you've been told 3 or 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. They had all this evidence stacked up in the sealed documents. And another thing that was sealed up was the fact that his mother went to the police. That wasn't really released to anyone, or nobody really knew about that until that document became unsealed.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, obviously, in a way, I think it may or could have been to protect her from him finding out, maybe. I mean, there's so many reasons they could have done it, but either way, man, your mom knew and just didn't do anything.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Just one time and that was it.
Well, they weren't even looking for two bodies. They were just looking for Josh Wetzler and found the other guy.
Well, and too, I mean, there were a lot of rumors. You know, the one thing that somebody was saying, I think the news was saying that he had a forked tongue.
Yeah.
And we really can't find out anything about that.
No.
Yeah, did or not.
The only account was, you know, Matt talking about coming back from the military and, you know, Pazuzu kind of went off deep end, all his new tattoos on his face. And, you know, he said Matt is the one who said he filed his teeth down one night high as fuck on meth with a Dremel tool. So,
yeah. And then there was accounts that I believe Josh was, his arms and his extremities were cut off.
Right.
Yeah, and he was starved to
death. His penis was cut off.
Yeah.
And buried in different places.
But they locked him in the basement and starved him to death.
Yeah. So I don't even know if that was true or if that was a rumor.
Right.
Because
like we said, this dude fucking bragged to everybody about it. Like, you know, he's probably sitting there in his mind like, these motherfuckers don't think I'm serious.
Right.
really.
And then there's one more thing that I couldn't find anything about. They didn't really go into detail, but supposedly, and I believe it was a journalist that said this, he supposedly killed 2 prostitutes.
Yeah. And ate them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, and if you guys can do some digging and find some more stuff out on this, like, you know, go for it. Or maybe some more ties to, you know, the ancient history and mythology of Pazuzu and mythology. That's the word I've been looking for. I've been saying ancient history. Mythology. That's what that's.
Just be
Sumerian
careful. Don't be reading shit, you know,
especially
out loud.
Yeah, man. Because like I said, there's people on some websites I was reading through that, you know, recall some accounts with him. I mean, and it's pretty serious. I mean, they showed pictures of, like, you know, a little cup of animal blood and incense and little sigils that they've summoned him with and candles, and talk about the dreams and experiences they had with him and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, it's definitely interesting. And like I said, I had no idea about all that while we were watching this. I just thought it was some kind of crazy dude, you know.
Right.
That's the ableing.
And now I started realizing that everything he was doing really truly had a purpose, and all the stuff that was happening was really.
But people,
like,
I guess, just didn't put it together.
Yeah. And it, because what blows my mind is, how can you be attracted to a place that nasty? I mean, I get the partying and the freedom and the do whatever you want, but just the. I mean, the dead animals and fucking all that shit.
Be okay with it to come back.
Yeah.
To be okay with it to come back.
And shit, staying there and hanging out and partying and living there. I mean, I can understand if you go get your, you know, get your dupe or get your fucking shrooms or whatever and get out. But
supposedly, I mean, once, like, he didn't shower for
over a year. Or he said he showered once a year.
Once a year.
If that.
He didn't brush his teeth. You know, hygiene, people.
Dude, the flies that were on that fly strip in the house. Oh God, man. I mean, and even like blood and stuff has like its own like dried nasty smell.
Especially in blood containing hepatitis A.
But sir, we will post the pictures.
And yeah, we'll post a lot of.
It will.
Yeah.
Any new information that you guys find, please release it to us. If you can find any video of Pazuzu himself,
I want
video.
Yeah,
John,
I would love to hear the full interrogation recording, because I know there's an audio recording, but they only play like him just stating what his name is, and that's all.
And like a couple of the tattoo meanings.
Find. So I don't know if anybody can find out, because I would love to hear him like talk. Like I want to hear his voice, because his voice almost sounded kind of. Like, not like human.
I mean, and it's
kind of deep. Sounded weird. Yeah. Sounded really deep and
gone almost.
Odd.
Yeah. I mean, we've only, like I said, I've been, you know, I love true crime and everything like that. And always, and with the four episodes we've done, you know, we've had some video,
right.
Some type of something like that, and there is nothing on this dude. Nothing.
Only the photos that were
a couple
mugshots
and some
and the
Facebook
video
videos.
From the yard
yeah,
but
stuff.
Not him though.
Not him. Right.
Yeah, it well, and like no pictures of him being arrested and getting in a cop car. No,
it's like, was he really there?
I know, right?
I mean, it's just, I don't know.
It's a lot
to me. It's just very strange. So yeah, if you find anything, man, just leave a. Link or something.
Yeah, and don't you think it's weird? I mean, if he's in prison, how could he tell if it was a full moon? Or do you think he might have just had the cycles memorized?
Probably. Maybe. I mean,
or
does if
moon
you're
phases
doing
even work like that? Can you even memorize the cycles of
moon dates are planned?
Yeah. Are they?
Yeah, you can tell by a calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Well,
just
yeah.
Creepy.
That's right.
I
just think it's crazy how he
weather bug.
How he died.
Right, but you can't use that in prison.
Weather bug.
Yeah, he uses Pazuzu.
Yeah, this
bug.
Was a good, this was a good one. This was a good case, and I didn't even know anything about the demon stuff until...
I didn't until this morning, and...
Yeah.
That really kind of puts a lot of it into perspective.
Well, it makes you wonder.
Yeah, I know.
Because 5 friggin' years, and they've been told. And this guy is still partying away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and people are still...
I think they were afraid of him. I really do. I think they were afraid of him.
Especially, wasn't it like a Bible
belt,
too?
That was what Pazuzu was. That's how he protected
people.
You, by fear. You know, scare you away.
And that's why people went into sanctuary.
You know, he
there.
Protected against misfortunes.
It was a church community.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of churches there around, and...
People not really knowing how to deal with stuff like that other than to ignore it.
Yeah. That was a good one, for sure.
Before we stop or get off of here, I want to mention if you guys have any videos of or not videos shit if you guys have any topics to discuss, people to discuss, cases to discuss, you can always write our Facebook page, Deranged Nation. like shit on there, share shit on there. What else do we have? What is the
YouTube
channel? We have a YouTube channel. Like and subscribe to that. We put our podcasts up on there as well.
Yeah, we're trying to get better to release these on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I think we're going to hit this one.
Yeah. Had some technical issues.
Yeah. I mean, we're new at this, guys. We're just sitting around.
We just do this for fun. Yeah. We enjoy finding weird, crazy shit.
We talk about it regardless, so.
Yeah. And too, sometimes our goal is, you know, not, you know, like I said, there's a lot of different accounts, a lot of different stories, a lot of different articles, you know what I mean? So,
hearsay.
You know, we try to keep the facts as on point as we can, as possible, you know, if possible. And, you know, really, we're just trying to get you guys excited about this, you know, and definitely, if you guys want to go watch this, it's on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm. It's called The Devil You Know.
The Devil You Know, and it, you know, if you guys
want to... It's a Vice documentary.
Yeah, yeah, so, you know, or look more deeper into it. Maybe you guys can find some stuff we couldn't. Like I said, I'd definitely like to see some more
footage on the guy.
Footage on him for sure.
Yeah.
Other than just some pictures. And there's some, I know there's some other pictures that they pulled off of Facebook. Cause I know he was on Facebook, but I don't know if his Facebook's still up.
I doubt it.
Probably not.
They've probably done.
Yeah. I mean, there might be one, but it might be somebody.
Right.
It's probably not the original. Right. His Facebook.
Well, I hope not. He's dead.
Well, no. You know what I mean.
Or is he?
Yeah, I don't know. Creepy, man.
Yep. All right. Well,
like,
thanks,
subscribe,
guys.
Share, comment. Let us know how you guys feel.
Yep. All right.
Yep.
On to the next.
See you next time.
Deranged Nation. You've been listening to the Deranged Nation podcast. Join us every Wednesday night for a new episode as we bring you true crime, unsolved mysteries, and other deranged stories. This episode was sponsored by Braps MX and ATV Pro Shop. Visit them at brapsmx.pro. Also, visit our host, TeresaGableman.com, New York Times best-selling paranormal romance author of the Protectors series, available on Amazon.com. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.